Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. This week brought to you unofficially by the next series of the Furchester Hotel. Oh, how exciting is that? Maybe the man who first told me about the Furchester Hotel, Ben, our algorithm department, can tell us what it is, Ben.
It's a hotel run by Muppets. It's a Sesame Street spin-off.
Yes, and one of the stars of that is Andrew James Spooner, and he's only flipping with us this week. Hooray! Look at that. And Ben, do you feel slightly starstruck to be in the presence of Andrew James?
I do. I think. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to you, Andrew, or Fergus.
I've got no idea with
your character constantly.
Well, we sound identical, clearly.
Well,
my broad Scottish accent. Yeah.
Do you actually do the voices, Andrew? Is that really stupid?
Yeah. It's funnily enough, it's a question we get asked a lot, but I think it's always been part of the Jim Henson kind of way of doing things that the performers always did the character voices as well.
I feel like such an idiot now, having been obsessed with Jim Henson for so long. I don't even know why I asked that question. I think it's because... this is embarrassing. Let's start the podcast. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. So, there we go. Andrew's met Ben. We can all welcome, as usual, Jamie. My name's Howell. That's Jamie. And Jack, our work experience boy, is with us from Lancaster. The last time we spoke to Jack, he was basically underwater in the floods. How's things going up there, Jack?
Well, not too bad. I'm back in Leeds at the moment at uni.
Thank God for that. Screw everyone in Lancaster.
I survived it.
I'm getting out and going to Leeds. That's what Jack said.
You got bored of turd fishing, did you, Jack?
That is actually true, isn't it? There was a lot of sewage going down.
No, it's 100% true. I saw it in my own eyes, unfortunately.
What a start to the show. Tonight, the show is going to be in two halves. Later, we're going to be joined by my brother, who is going to talk to us about... there's going to be a lot of spoilers involved. So in half an hour or so, that's going to be the point to turn off. If you haven't seen The Jinx or you haven't seen Making a Murderer. Before then, we're going to be talking about Boardwalk Empire. And we've lost Jamie. We've just lost Jamie from the podcast. We'll try and get him back now. This might be because Jamie started doing the show.
Hello.
There he is. Are you actually on your computer this week then?
No, this is the phone.
Are you going to switch back to your computer at any point?
Why is... did no one else have issues then?
What, just then? No, just you. Just you.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing.
We're all still here.
And, everyone's fine. Also, last week when I was editing, I almost had to... highlight every single one of your lines and boost it because it was quieter than everyone else's. And I would like to go to a tweet by Chris Allen, who tweeted us at the Box Set Pod. The Making a Murderer podcast wasn't bad until Jamie decided to make his tea. # piss poor professionalism. There just seems to be this sense that of everybody, Jamie, you're perhaps getting a little bit lackadaisical with things.
And this is what gets me about, what's his name again?
Chris Allen, yes.
I thought he was joking, right? So I sent him back a tweet saying, oh, well, if you like that, you'll love the next pod because I'm making chili. And to that...
I can tell you what he replied. He said, yeah, well, that might be the point at which I dump the show. Some weeks it's just hard to listen. Shame, could have been good.
I can't believe it was the cooking that put him off. I mean,
I always find it when people actually make a serious complaint about this podcast, as if there's anything we could do to, you know, improve it. It's like complaining that, like, a garage that does your car up for free has kind of missed a screw on the wing mirror or something. It's like, come on, you get it for free, and it's clearly a shambles. What do you expect? You know,
isn't he the guy that won our Entourage box set as well?
I'm not sure about that. That could be another career.
He turned it down.
I beg to differ. I don't get it for free.
What?
I don't get it for free. I give up my valuable time, and that costs money. I'm an investor. I'm basically an investor. Yeah. As a listener,
come on.
As a listener, I give you an hour of my time a week.
Oh, we are you Gordon Gekko? Time is money.
That's it.
Is it?
Yeah. it's a fair point. So what you're saying, Ben, is Jamie needs to A, use his computer with the expensive microphone, and B, stop making his tea during the podcast. Is that fair?
I think at the very least, stop making your tea. Just to, as a listener.
All right.
Can I just ask, I did hear some noises just before that sounded like someone chopping. Can I ask who that was?
Jeez, I'm not chopping anything. I've already eaten tonight. I made sure I didn't need to eat any food before the pod, all right?
Right, we're on fire. So, Andrew James Spooner, let's jump straight in to what Andrew has done. So every week now we try to get someone to watch one episode of something that they've never seen before, and then we see if we can persuade them to go further than that first episode. Now, I have watched a few episodes, actually, but not for a long time. Jamie's watched the whole thing. The subject is Boardwalk Empire. Ben, Jack, have you watched Boardwalk Empire? Starting with Ben.
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it all. I've seen it all from start to finish.
Jack, have you seen it?
I've watched nothing. Not a clue what it's about.
Not a clue. Okay. So Jack is in the dark completely. Let's go to Andrew James Spooner, Muppeteer extraordinaire and star of the Fairchester Hotel. Andrew, can you tell us what Boardwalk Empire is about?
Well, it's a very dense show. I'll give it that. There's a lot going on in that first. Episode. I mean, essentially, it's about gangsters and the onset of prohibition in the States. And it's all set in Atlantic City. Parts of it are set in Chicago. And it's really just about how they're going to start coping with the fact that alcohol is now essentially illegal in the States.
Okay.
And the underground kind of business that's going to develop around the trade in alcohol and trying to get it distributed to these various bars and clubs in Chicago and Atlantic City. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what will become. Maybe you can tell me, Jamie, is this like before it became the Vegas of the East Coast? Is this like,
it's kind of yeah.
Was it already that?
in the midst of that, and as it builds up over the sort of the beginning of the Prohibition era, and yeah, you're right, Andrew. There's a lot to take in that first episode. What I can remember, it's a lot to take in information wise, and I think it can be quite overwhelming when you join a show that's that dense.
Directed by Martin Scorsese, that first episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
And I got to say that when I saw that, my heart sank slightly because I just thought, well, I mean, I'm probably in the minority here, but I have issues with him as a director, full stop. I think he's incredibly overrated. But. Sorry, you've got to have an opinion, haven't you? You've got to have an opinion.
Yeah.
But when you see a show that's, like, for instance, when I remember watching the original Lost pilot, which was directed by J.J. Abrams, you kind of worry that what you're going to get sold isn't going to be the show that you end up watching.
Yeah.
That they're going to throw a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of flashy camera work and money at the first episode.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do that next gen thing of having the next week's episode be set in one room with two people.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm sorry that the phone ring has popped up. And normally it does that very subtly. Have I actually called you? I'm just trying to add Matt. Have I just called your mobile?
Yes. Yes, you have.
Oh, for God's sake. Right. I'm hanging up on you. I'm hanging up on you. I'm going to get you on Skype.
Does anybody mind if I make a chili during this?
Plenty okay. of kidney beans.
Okay, we're gonna try and add Matthew Wandless to the call.
Hello.
There he is. Right, Matthew, first of all, if you could try and be punctual for 7:30 next time, that would help us all.
Out of
okay.
my face.
It would help us all.
You've been drinking
all day.
Matthew, Jack is here, you've met him before. Ben's here, you've met him before. Andrew James Spooner, Muppeteer Extraordinaire, is with us.
And yes, hello.
You've not.
Hello.
Matt, have you watched Boardwalk Empire?
I watched at least two series.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
It's not a good sign that you gave up.
No. So, no. Andrew James Spooner has just told us what it is and begun to criticise it. So, essentially, Andrew, you are worried that this is going to turn into... that there's going to be a lot to swallow and you haven't necessarily got the appetite for it. Is that what...
Well, I got to say, I really enjoyed it. I mean, there's a lot there to enjoy. I mean, it's one of those HBO shows where they've just clearly spent a huge amount of money on it. The costumes, the sets, you know, just the standard of the actors and the stuff, and the fact that Martin Scorsese is obviously directing it. But I just, pilots have always got that really, it's a tricky job, a pilot, because it's got to introduce you to everything, the concept, the characters, the situation, and it's got to wrap it up in like an hour and tell a story that you're interested in listening to. So I worry that they've kind of thrown everything at that first episode. Mm. And then, as I said, you're going to get an episode where it's just two guys sitting in a room next week because they can't afford anything else.
I can promise you right here and right now, Andrew, that you're going to get high quality television from the first to the very final episode of season 5.
Oh, is it 5 seasons?
Yeah.
That was my other question, because I have no idea how many seasons this is going to go on for. But is this like 24 episodes a season, or is it HBO 13?
It's a nice 12. It's a nice round 12 for you.
Brilliant,
Andrew.
Brilliant.
Get your chops round.
Is it a problem, Jamie, that Andrew has a kind of fundamental issues with Martin Scorsese?
I don't think there is, because I don't feel like, although he directs, I think, maybe the first two, but I don't think it matters. Doesn't feel like a Scorsese... I guess it's a bit Gangs of New York, but it's very... It's not particularly like... It's not got a very strong directorial influence in it. It's very well written, like Terrence Winter, who wrote it, a lot of it, he created it as well and worked on Sopranos. It's got his influence almost more than Scorsese's, I feel, and
much more.
And that's what you'll notice.
It doesn't have that kind of you'll notice the soundtrack kind of feel to it, which is what I kind of think of with Scorsese and gangster films.
Yeah,
but Andrew, is your problem with? Because I've always struggled with gangster films, and it's just, we've discussed this before, but it's a problem of empathy. I always find that I struggle to give a shit about a gangster and whether he succeeds or not, because he's killing a lot of people. And...
I know, and I think they were smart in the sense that what they spend the first episode doing is setting up a little of the backstories of the main character, so that when they do behave badly, for want of a better word, then they're not doing it in a complete vacuum.
Yeah,
you've got an idea that the guy Jimmy, who's just come back from the Great War, he's traumatized. He's got, I guess, what you would call, you know, post-traumatic stress these days. He thinks he's corrupted and going to hell anyway. So he's kind of the character that was probably good once, but now thinks he's got nowhere else to go. And then you've got the Steve Buscemi character, who is kind of striking up this friendship with, I can't remember the character's name. The actress was Kelly MacDonald.
Yeah, Margaret Schroeder.
Yeah, so there's a hint of kind of caring humanity in there, which kind of draws you to the characters, which you can kind of hook into, so that when they do things that are questionable, I'm not saying you can justify it, but you're not just seeing them in terms of black and white.
No, it's the Scarface thing. At the beginning of Scarface, you're like, yeah, you're rooting for him. Stab that guy.
but also, Boardwalk has the benefit of being about a... You know, it's historic. It's not a fictional set of stuff, and it's about the development of an era as well. So you can kind of
You can get involved from that perspective as well. It's not just about the characters. You know, you've got the interest of the story of the time kind of thing.
Surprised though that they've not done one of these on Vegas. You know, when you think of like the growth of Vegas in the desert.
They have tried. They've tried and
Didn't they? There was a series called Vegas, wasn't there?
Yeah,
but that wasn't historical. I don't think that was like set in a modern casino, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Right. Well, that's part of the interesting thing about this is that you start to get the historic, context is that although they're in Atlantic City and that their crime sort of wave is rising, that prohibition is countrywide, and so as their industry expands, you get the Vegas gangs and the New York families and all the sort of competition that are all nearby, and so you get a sense of the wider picture of America, and even as far as to in latter series down into Mexico and Cuba and places like that sort of become influential, and that's really interesting.
How does this differ, Jamie, from and tell me if this is a decent question to ask Andrew, but does this series differ vastly from, say, The Sopranos or, the rise and fall plots of most gangster films?
I haven't seen enough gangster films to really tell. I mean, there was a couple of moments in it, because you were talking about the historical context. I don't know how much of this is based on real events or just kind of an extrapolation of the kind of stuff that was going on at the time, because one of the bits in the show that made me wince slightly was when the guy turned around and went Al Capone.
Mm-hmm. Make you wince? That's like
only because
that's
I was worried,
because they've introduced Al Capone and you've just met this character and you know he's going to become one of the biggest crime bosses in history. He's not just going to vanish.
It's a trope that they use in movies a lot that I get a bit tired of sometimes, when there's
Luke, I am your father.
A slightly small character that's there all the way through, and then right at the end of the movie or halfway through the movie, they go, "What's your name, son?" And they go, "Chaplin, Charlie Chaplin." And I just kind of, my hand hits my forehead and I want to die.
except the difference is that within a pilot, he's turned around and said, this tiny little character's gone, "I'm Al Capone." And you're thinking, well, over six series, you're going to become massive.
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is the thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know if that was just kind of, they were just dropping names majorly, and this was a character that was just going to be in that first episode, Al Capone, sir, and then you don't see him again, or whether it was going to be something. Obviously, by the end of the episode,
well, I think that's a good way to judge whether or not it's a good drama or not. Is that?
Oh yeah, definitely.
They've introduced that guy, and he's gonna, that drama is going to deliver, and so.
He's not the only one.
That is a hallmark of good.
That's an interesting thing.
When it's done properly,
we're going to see him from. We're going to see his peak, and then everything else that happens. Because it's not a spoiler to say that in the first series, Al Capone is frustrated and small. He's small time, and no one thinks very much of him. And you've got these much larger looming gangsters from the period, like. What's the name of the guy? The guy from New York, is it Rothstein? Sam Rothstein, is that his name? And Lucky Luciano and those kind of people who are also very big at the time. He's a minor character, but he's Al Capone.
And I think you're worried about. It seems to me you're worried it's going to be a bit gimmicky with the world it's in, with the true life characters that it's coming from. But it's not even really. It's about, like, Steve Buscemi plays a real kind of person who existed, he's very much the central point of the story, is him, and whether you like him and the journey he goes on and the lines that he crosses, and then his relationships with Jimmy, who's, for the first two seasons, the relationship's fascinating and what it goes through, and then his relationship with Margaret Schroeder. And then there's another, an amazing character I don't know if he's come into it yet, but Nelson Van Alden, FBI agent.
He's wonderful.
He's brilliant.
He's just the journey his character goes on is just, it's insane. And that's what the heart of it is. And around all of that are all these real life gangsters and the ascendancies that they take, and then some of them the up and down sort of journeys they go on. But the main focus and the heart of it are those kind of characters.
As time
What's
goes,
what's the actor's name? The guy who plays the Agent Van Alden.
Michael Shannon.
He is superb in that show. Yeah. He's the best thing in the first couple of series.
Why don't you just get a room with Michael Shannon?
Can I ask?
Does anyone else, because he was rubbish in Man of Steel.
Terrible. It's such a disappointment. Does anyone else not like Steve Buscemi in this show?
What do you mean as a character?
No, I don't like him as the leading man in this show. I think he's one of the worst things about it.
Well, that's interesting because I've never liked him as a leading man. Mm. I've always thought he's played like the secondary characters really well, but I'm not convinced he's got the weight to carry a show like this on his shoulders yet.
It's funny.
I agree.
I heard an interview with I think it was Toby Jones, but it might be another weird looking British actor. who said he thinks that there's two types of actors. There's two types of parts that suit actors. There's parts where of characters who do things, and there's parts of characters that have things done to them. And he was saying he will always be the latter. He'll be the guy who is the butt of the joke or who experiences things or gets shit thrown at him. Whereas,
I think I'm that kind of actor.
Yeah, Matt, if you've got any jobs as an actor, that's correct. But also, Bradley Cooper, for example, which, come on, Matt, look at Matt's picture on your screen, everyone. Matt is clearly the Bradley Cooper
role.
I've
got my bloody headshot there, haven't I?
Yeah. Bradley Cooper would get the one that does things. My question with this is, does Steve Buscemi have the... Isn't he a guy that has... What is this character? Is this a guy who has a lot of shit thrown at him?
I think the problem is the tone of it as well. It depends on the film he's in. I years ago, I saw him in a movie called Living in Oblivion, which I would recommend to anybody, where he plays a director shooting a low-budget movie. And he's brilliant in that. But again, his character is exactly what you've just said. He's not a proactive character in it. Mm. He's reactive. Mm. All he's doing all the way through the movie is coping with all the crap that people are throwing at him.
Yeah.
So seeing him in this position where he's in a position of power and he's supposed to be this slightly intimidating character, I don't know. I'm not convinced yet.
Andrew isn't convinced that what we haven't done is cast Fozzie Bear as the main part when it should have been Kermit. That's
well, that's interesting.
Jamie,
I think that's why he's a good choice for this role, because the whole like premise of the show is that he is like in control of this big empire, but it feels very fragile, the control he has over it, with all these powers from New York and Chicago around him, and the way he navigates his way through negotiating and keeping his power and keeping and his struggle to keep his independence is kind of what makes it so compelling, is that he seems so fragile, and he's such a weak seeming person, but he's got this inner sort of strength, and he's got this incredible intelligence about how to deal with these situations, and that's why he's such a good character. That's why I really
agree with you, Jamie, because I think that that's something interesting they've done, in that if you were to compare it to The Sopranos, he's not an Anthony Soprano type character who leads with power and strength. He's very guileful and cunning.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not so much about the character and whether Steve Buscemi's right for it. It's just that it's something about his performance which falls short for me, and it just doesn't have the weight of performance that I associate with the really, really high quality dramas these days. And I think, unfortunately,
Matt on
that there are
no, I know what you mean.
You're supposed to be trying to persuade.
You're articulating something that's quite sort of. I didn't. For some reason, I just wasn't. into Steve Buscemi's character in the same way that I'm into, I'm immediately sort of, there was nothing about it and about his performance that, that sort of dragged me in like I am with, like you say, you know, other leading characters. I don't know, I couldn't
well,
put
I
a finger on it, but it took me a while to warm to wanting to see his character more.
Yeah, he's, especially
he's
when
almost
there are other
cold.
Characters
it's
around.
Like a cold thing. You're not, you're happy to see other characters, and I was sort of didn't connect with his in the same way for
well,
a while.
This is why I stopped watching.
But now I think it's brilliant in hindsight.
Okay. Matt, so, look, we're all in different places in this race, right? Matt is kind of halfway down the racetrack, and he's now considering on Ben's argument just then to kind of carry on and maybe realise that he was wrong about Buscemi all along. Andrew James Spooner, well, I'm sort of a bit behind Matt. I watched the first couple of episodes, and I'm sort of with everyone who's spoken that I wasn't convinced. And my other question that you can answer in a moment, Jamie, is when you think of the towers of box sets that exist, some seem to be, yeah, they're great, but they kind of pass and never mind. This doesn't feel to me like a giant thing that I should be going back to and not missing. It just doesn't feel like that.
I'm interested enough that I want to watch more.
Okay, so Spooner's there. Well, Spooner's just off the start. He's thinking about carrying on now. Spooner, let me ask you a question. Have you got a mortgage?
I do have a mortgage, unfortunately,
okay.
Yes.
What percentage of that mortgage would you bet right now on the idea that you are going to finish season 5 of Boardwalk Empire?
I'm not willing to bet any of my mortgage.
Yeah, you see? I just don't know if I believe that you're going to carry on with it at any great pace. And then way back, right, before even the start line, actually having a sleep somewhere before the starting blocks is work experience boy Jack.
Jack. Tell you what I think.
Go
I
on,
think
Jack.
You should all sack off Boardwalk Empire and watch Peaky Blinders instead.
Oh. No, Peaky Blinders is like a shit.
Oh,
Boardwalk Empire. It's like a shit budget version of Boardwalk Empire. That's what Peaky Blinders is.
Jack, yes.
Boardwalk Empire exists across a whole city of a landscape of characters, and Peaky Blinders is like a bloke on a street with a horse in a hat.
Jack, have you watched all of Peaky Blinders then?
I've watched all of it twice, yeah.
Twice?
Waiting for the third series.
Twice?
Disgusting.
Jack, how many series have we now tried to persuade you to watch? And you're spending your time watching them twice?
Yeah, that's pretty rude, Jack.
Absolute lunatic. Jack, well, that could be good news. If Ben is saying that he's seen both, Jack, and he's saying that, well, what you've watched is basically the beginner's guide to something, then...
Well, it's not even the beginner's guide. It's like the Salford Ladies Amateur Dramatics Association has put on Empire.
Whoa. Don't knock the ladies. That was just sexist. And I want to point something out as well. On last week's podcast, Christian Talbot, stand-up comedian, was describing Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he said one of his favourite characters was the older lady in the cardigan.
I listened to this just now.
And he's describing Chelsea Peretti, who is actually probably the youngest actor on the team.
The office spinster.
Yeah. We must remember him to take him to task on that at a later point. Okay, so, Jack, are you at all persuaded to start Boardwalk Empire? I mean, you seem to have found... It seemed to have rummaged up thoughts of Peaky Blinders, which Ben is making at least some comparison to.
Yeah, I think my problem is with a lot of TV shows is that if the first episode isn't absolutely mind-blowing, then I just give up on them.
Yeah.
A bit like Don't Shoot Me Down, but a bit like West Wing and Mad Men.
Oh my
Shut
God. The front door, Jack.
What else can we do but shoot you down?
I mean, Jack. I mean, are you a fan of food, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like someone's walked in, going, "Hey, listen, guys. I tried that water thing. I don't think it's for me. Can we just drink it? Just get on with it. You're gonna need it in your life, Jack. Don't watch Peaky Blinders twice, for God's sake. Jesus." Christ!
Oh, fucking Blinders, honestly.
You watched it twice, man.
Twice!
Come on.
Twice!
Think about it.
What are you doing?
What
did you...
I started watching, Jamie, Deadwood.
which I know you love.
Look, we'll come back to now. That's proper, yeah. Right? We'll come back to that another week. But Jack, what were you thinking when you went back to season one?
It's just so good. It's just
fantastic. So good. Not because you've even made it past the trailer on the telly for that.
I didn't make it past the name.
Oh, thanks, Jack. What's that podcast I do every week, virtually, talking about box sets? We're always surprised that we just don't have the time to watch everything. Quick, go back to season one, episode one of Peaky Friggin' Blinders. Good God. Okay, so Jack's probably not going to start Boardwalk Empire unless the... You never know, Jack. The pilot might actually grab you, so maybe you should try.
I'll give it a bash. I'll see. I'll...
Great stuff. Sorry, Andrew James Spooner. What are the chances? Are you gonna watch episode two?
What, of Peaky Blinders? Oh no, God, definitely. I'm not over the fourth episode yet, so it's got four episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'll definitely be watching it again because there's a lot going on there, and so yeah, no, definitely.
Okay, I'm getting in a space rocket. I can take Deadwood or I can take Boardwalk. Which one am I taking, boys?
Oh.
Well, based you take on Boardwalk, but you've got poor choices there.
I've got to go with Deadwood.
Andrew's going with Deadwood.
I've got to go Deadwood, but it's a tough one. Tough one.
Well, that's based on all the seasons of Deadwood and one episode of Boardwalk. So.
Yeah. So
can I say something?
Yeah, that's right, Matt.
I don't think it is worth watching Boardwalk.
What a waste of our lives the last half hour has been. Tell us why, Matt.
I watched two series and I stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what though, Matt?
I mean, I've got to say, actually, I watched all of it and I miss it a lot. Like, I miss that thing. I've just started watching The Nick and that reminds me of it sort of slightly. But I've not started watching it again.
He's not asked. Ben isn't asked either.
What?
Matt says no.
No.
Ben says no.
I know that I'll never be able to devote. Like, it's a real, it's in sort of experience thing. Like, it's a long haul. Those are long hours, those episodes.
Let me tell you this, though, right, Matt. You finished season two. Season three has one of the best bad guys ever to hit the show.
That is really true.
I watched half of season three, and I think I know who you're talking about, and I didn't like him.
He didn't.
I like the actor as well. I like the actor too.
He gets brilliant.
But I know this is getting close to spoilers territory.
Yeah, it is now, isn't it? It is, I think.
Jip Rossetti, played by Bobby Cannavale.
That's very, that's an amazing series. That
and
is
he's,
really
he's in the new vinyl, the new TV show Vinyl.
Let's put a stop to this now. Stop. Everybody stop.
Peaky Blinders.
Let's just face it. We're all going to watch Peaky Blinders.
Just in terms of watching box sets, though, that are fairly dense and require a lot of time and attention, the best bit of advice I've got is have children.
Yeah.
Because I have children. I therefore do not go out.
Yeah.
I have an hour's worth of attention every night. So we pick a series and then we just go through all 12 episodes in 12 days.
Yeah.
In that case, you should watch Boardwalk Empire.
I should definitely watch that. Yeah.
Right.
And well, no, I'm saying there are things that are more important to watch than Boardwalk Empire. And listening to your podcast a couple of weeks ago, there is some stuff that's missing from your list that is more important than this.
Columbo.
Jonathan,
Columbo,
here.
For
that's,
example.
Okay, that's my brother. Everyone say hello to Jonathan, my twin brother, who's now turned up.
Hello. Hi, Johnny.
There you go.
How are you doing,
Johnny
Jamie?
Evans.
Yeah, well, good. Well. Johnny, you just stay quiet a minute. It's hard enough to control the 12 people that we've got here already, okay?
Has Jamie had his tea yet?
I'm eating. All right.
Oh, my God.
Now, we're going to do the top 10 box sets this week, and then we are going to be talking about The Jinx and Making a Murderer. Now, Andrew,
I should shout at this point then,
yeah, Andrew, it's your choice. You can stay and dip out when you think it gets you can just disappear if you like. You just literally hang up, don't say anything, just hang up when you feel you're finding out too much.
I'll listen to the news and then I'll check out.
Okay,
I'll check out and let you chat.
see, because that is something I want to watch, so okay. I don't want anything spoiled.
Well, my brother Jonathan was very angry that a couple of weeks ago we did a Making a Murderer special. We were so short on guests that we ended up with our internet department, Adam, who hadn't even watched Making a Murderer. And then Jonathan...
Bloody joke.
Jonathan complained because he thinks that he knows a lot about criminal psychology.
I know more than Adam, who knows nothing about even the bloody episodes, let alone...
That's true. So, Jonathan, we can have a chat with about that in a moment. We've got the news in the chart. At number 10 in the chart this week. Ben, what's at number 10?
Made American Crime Story. Open brackets. The People versus O.J. Simpson, close brackets.
Quick point on that. I'm hearing it's really, really good.
I've watched it, and it is very, very camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very, 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 very 90s. Like, there's crash zooms and sort of funny looks and even jokes and stuff.
God, that sounds amazing.
But the trailers make it look like The Wire with O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
But it's really not. It's really sort of a little bit... It's almost daft.
Johnny, is that you messing around with your thing?
Nope.
Who's messing around with their thing? Getting a lot of echo.
Can you define things?
It's a very personal question.
just try and...
I'm quiet.
I think it might be you. So just keep quiet. Me? Yeah, because you're the least skilled person here at podcasting.
Okay? I'm laying on the couch.
Just listen, you're 8 minutes younger than me. You do as you're told. Mute yourself until you're asked to speak, okay? Right, so that's number 10. At number 9
it's also, just to point out, that's not to be confused with the series American Crime, which is amazing.
Right, yeah.
Which might be what you've heard is good, but I mixed the two up.
Someone's heavy breathing, I swear.
Who's doing the breathing?
Is it you, Andrew?
It's not me. Don't point the finger at me.
Wandless, what are you doing?
I think that's probably me.
Right.
I'm aware of it now.
Everybody stop breathing.
Howell, are you going to confiscate everybody's sweets as well while you're here? Jesus.
Or everyone's lungs.
Okay. Number 9 this week is...
Madoff. It's a TV miniseries that's aired in the States, which is about Bernie Madoff and the financial disaster that he created.
I thought you said Madolf. I thought it was like a parody of Adolf Hitler.
Madolf.
Write that one down. We're making that.
That's what they called him at university, old Madolf.
I think Andrew can take that title. That is a Muppet of the future, isn't it? Madolf.
We need to give that idea. We need to write a script. I assume that you're all aware of Uwe Boll.
No, who's Uwe Boll?
As a director,
right. Yeah, the director,
German director, he makes the world's worst movies.
Okay.
You go up, look on the internet, type in, I'm not even sure I've pronounced it right, Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
He's absolutely fantastic. He once got so angry with the critics constantly ripping into his movies that he challenged some of them to a boxing match.
Sounds great. He'll make Madolf. At number 8 this week?
Number 8, Happy Valley.
Is that the one with Sarah Lancaster?
Yeah.
Ah, it's grim up north.
It's grim up north and she's a police woman.
Oh, it's grim. Everybody's kidnapping each other.
What do you think of Happy Valley, Ben?
It's fucking rubbish.
Why? I've never watched it.
It's a great performance. She's very good in it, but I just think it's a cliche. It's like if you were to make a drama about every cliche of northern dramas. It's like, oh, there's a bloke, he owns a company, he's a bit rich, let's kidnap his daughter, and oh, there's drugs on that there farm. And oh, why have you got a gun? And then people, you know, keeping people in, like, held hostage in the basement of terraced houses, and it's all a bit grim. Like, there's nothing original about it.
I think it's been too long since you came up the north. That's exactly what it is like up here.
Well, that's what I mean. You need a bit of escapism, though, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, you're so
next,
right.
What's at number 7?
Number 7, Falling Skies, alien drama.
Oh, excellent. By the way, speaking of aliens, I just want to give a shout out to season 2, Fargo season 2. We won't say any more than that in case there's any spoilers. Yeah. But just what a brilliant series with a surprising moment.
It's stunning. Absolutely stunning.
There are aliens in Fargo season 2.
Who knows, Matt? Who knows? Maybe. But Andrew, back me up. Isn't it amazing?
It's astonishing, because if you were to... I obviously can't say anything, but if you were to write certain scenes down on paper and show them to people, they'd think you're insane.
Yeah.
But when you sit and watch it, somehow it kind of makes sense in that universe. So, I watched it. I can't say anymore.
I still preferred season one. That's all I'm going to say. What's the number six, Ben?
So, no, Andrew James Spooner was trying to carry on the debate there. Go on, Andrew.
Number six, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, enough said. Number five, Lucifer. Number four, what's at number four?
Number four, Endeavour.
What is that?
It's a prequel to Inspector Morse, and therefore Lewis. I don't know. I don't think either Lewis or Inspector Morse in it. I don't know any more about it. It sounds boring.
Yeah, but my dad needed more Morse, and Morse died, so what else are they going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number three is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, very good.
Number two, it's The X-Files.
The X-Files, which was reviewed last week by a couple of box set podders who said it's absolutely dreadful. It did premiere last night, I think. Did anyone watch it?
I watched the first four now. Mm. And it wavers between brilliant and atrocious. Okay. It's weird. There are moments where you're just going, this is amazing. This is exactly why I love that show the first time round, and oh my god, what have they done to it? So it's a weird one.
Jonathan, my brother, go on. I thought
it was a bit of a mixed. I was kind of like, they could have done this about real conspiratorial modern stuff. I thought it was a bit of a missed opportunity. They could have done it could have done it about the bankers and stuff. And then they kind of did, but they did it about everything. It was just a scattergun approach that everything's a big conspiracy.
Mm.
I'm still on season 16 of the My Catch Up. I'm still I've gone back to the beginning.
You must be regretting that now.
Yeah, I am regretting it. Every day is another fucking alien. It's so boring.
Great. What's happening in the news this week, Jamie? Oh, what's at number one, Downton Abbey?
Oh, number one, it's Downton Abbey. Yeah. Downton Abbey.
Great. Jamie, what's in the news this week?
All right, I'll do some quick news. The boxsetpod.com news. So, latest there is The Exorcist is getting made into a TV show.
No! Stop it now!
Yeah.
What a stupid, terrible idea for a TV show.
They're going back to the original novel by William Peter Blatty, and they're going to remake the film. Well, not the film, but from that, so they're going to take it and adapt the novel again for a TV version. Fuck those guys.
Who are they? Get rid of them.
Yeah. Fantastic Four screenwriter Jeremy Slater has been given the job. And
this
I don't
gets worse. This is terrible news. This should be called the shitty news.
Here's some interesting news. Netflix revealed at the start of this year the statistic for 2015. They don't release a lot of information. They're very secretive, but here's some information for you. They have over 75 million subscribers. They have with 42.5 billion hours of video streamed in 2015. Wow. They've also announced...
How many? Sorry, say again the number.
42.5 billion hours of video was streamed in 2015 on Netflix.
And that was just Peaky Blinders to Jack's house.
They've also announced they're going to spend $6 billion on original content, 600 hours of original programming for this year, to be launched in this year. So they're big on original content at the moment. You've already mentioned The X-Files got really dodgy reviews. I've put on those, well, Louis C.K.'s latest release, Horace and Pete, doing very well, getting some good reviews.
Yeah, that's very good.
$5 an episode on his website. And I do want to mention as well, I've put the video up, the teaser for the new Alan Partridge Mid-Morning Matters. It starts next Tuesday, and it's got Julian Barrett's in it, I think. Phil Cornwell returns as DJ Dave Clifton, and sidekick Simon Tim Key is there, along with Lynn.
So exciting. Did anyone see the article Ben sent me
Yes.
About that Alan Partridge wrote an article in The Guardian this week talking about how TV is dead and radio's where everything is. And it was
it's good brilliant. Move, guys. Good move.
Superb. Superb. is that my brother making a joke about our career?
Yeah.
Listen to that. Just one man laughing to himself. desperately
did
sad.
Did you know Wes Anderson's doing a TV series?
Is he?
Is he really? No, he's not. It'd be good, though, wouldn't it?
What the hell?
I tell you who is doing a TV series with Amazon. Woody Allen.
What?
Yeah. Is he?
He is indeed.
Yeah, I heard about that ages ago, but he just took the deal, didn't he? Because I read an article where he was like, it seemed like a really good idea at the time, but now I've got absolutely no idea what to do.
Woody Allen could say that about many things he's done in his life.
I think the more we skip over Woody Allen, probably the better.
I want to mention that this has been on the news in the past, and what it shows is the lack of interest in my news items on this podcast.
We're talking about
in past episodes.
What?
I think I might have heard it on the news.
You might have heard it there.
No, your news is fascinating, Jamie. It's just so compendious. It's difficult to know what to say about them. It's superb.
Well, thank you very much. I needed that.
let's move on. So there's the news. If you want to see Jamie's, I mean, the news page on our website is the second most visited page on our website.
What's the first?
You only got two pages.
The first is the podcast, and the second is that, and the third is the contact us page. So, we're now going to discuss jury selection.
Is this spoiler territory for
I think
me?
It probably yeah. is. So
right, I'm gonna check out then, guys.
All right, Spooner, thank you for joining us again. You're welcome every week, same time, obviously. The second series of the Firchester Hotel has been announced.
It's been announced, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, today, today. So it's all
did you work on the Firchester Hotel?
Oh, God, here we go. Matt, this is why you have to turn up on time. Matt, you've got 1 minute interviewing Andrew James Spooner. Go.
I watch the Firchester Hotel every morning.
You that's not an interview sad. Question. That's a statement, Matt.
Right. Do you have children?
Does that matter?
Not really.
I do, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. What's not that that's, you know, and most of our viewers are either students or very young children.
Yeah.
It's the countdown audience. Matt, this is the worst interview I've ever heard.
I didn't want to interview him. I just wanted to know if he did the first hotel. I still don't know.
He's Fergus.
You're Fergus. Oh, nice. Yes.
See, that's almost a question, Matt. You know?
All right, hang on.
What character do you play?
Is the lady who plays your wife, is she very sexy?
Oh, incredibly so.
She's got such a sexy voice, which is incredibly a weird thing to think during a kids' show.
Yeah.
It's early in the morning and you've probably just had like caffeine in your system and coffee and no breakfast, so
yeah,
weird thoughts gonna percolate, aren't they?
Yeah
Well, I like it. I like her.
Great. Well, that was the single most perverted interview that it went from disastrous to perverted. So
well, I'm not a radio personality. I've never done this before.
It's all right. What I'll do is I'll email her now.
Yeah.
And I'll put her in the direction of this podcast.
Great.
And see if we can get a response from her.
Yeah.
See if she likes football. I've got a football podcast. She can come on it.
She's so far away from being the kind of person that likes football, but all right.
Oh, I bet she loves football.
I've never heard this side of Matt.
Wow.
This is
my lascivious side.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. It's like,
you sound like a pervert.
Never never ever say to Matt Wandless, Matt, do an interview, because it probably whatever he was taught that means, it involves him undoing his belt. Andrew James Spooner, ending on a quite disturbing note, thank you very much.
Well, can I just thank Andrew and you two for 2 weeks ago, I was up a ladder painting the roof and you left about a split second between spoiler, and this is a Star Wars spoiler, everybody, so let's leave five seconds, everybody, and you went Darth Vader.
No, no, three. don't. Just don't. I know. Right. Don't
anyway,
bother.
You bloody, I'm up the ladder, and I haven't seen the bloody thing, so great.
Well, There we go. It's your own stupid fault for listening to podcasts up ladders, isn't it?
Well, it is.
And then he almost did the exact thing that he was criticised us for on the podcast.
I left 5 seconds. Yeah, could get down a ladder in 5 seconds.
Right, well, we've got 5 minutes left of this podcast for Jonathan to tell us what he thinks we missed in our Making a Murderer special. So,
5 minutes?
I'm going to check out, guys. I'll speak
to
you later.
Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Bye, Andrew.
See ya. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye. There he goes. There goes Andrew. I think he's gone. So, Matt, how do you feel that interview with Andrew went?
Sexily.
Decided to save Johnny for another week because we got into a very long legal debate, which has nearly killed us all.
Got a bit stodgy in the middle. We'll save that for a later date.
In fact, we've lost everyone apart from Jack and Johnny. Everyone has left the room.
And I'm about to go and watch for the third time, Peaky Blinders. On that note,
Jack, can I recommend one thing for you to watch and the other two?
Johnny, you're not even on this podcast.
Oh, sorry.
Go on.
F is for family.
F is for family. You're not frigging kidding.
Is that another one of them? Is it like an animated thing?
Yeah, it is. It's on Netflix. We'll talk about that another week. Next week, Utopia. See you then. Thanks very much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.